Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew.
I am, of course, William Ramel.
What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
Hey, not much, man. Just talking sports as usual, as you know, like we always do. We're going to talk, some baseball, some hot stove news, with the Mets and both the Yankees making some moves to improve their chances of hopefully going to the World Series and winning it. We're also going to talk about what else the other teams in MLB is doing to further their cause of winning the title. We're also going to talk about NFL as Giants prepare for their Monday Night Football game. And also we're going to also talk about the Jets as they're going to face the Titans later today, and also talk about NBA as the Knicks are in Portland right now, and as usual, end the show with a little WWE news as the TLC pay-per-view event is going to start later tonight. But of course, you know, most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call, share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. With that said, but before we get to that, breaking news. I don't know if you heard, Mac.
Oh, yeah.
The Bucks have defeated the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
So
a major upset.
So talk about upset. In Milwaukee, the Golden State Warriors, they have their 28-game winning streak, a snap going back into last year. Now the Bucks are the first team to defeat the now 24-1 Golden State Warriors, the defending Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, man.
Congrats.
That's a big upset.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, we know it's going to happen eventually, but it's very surprising. But, you know, congrats to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, you know, because I thought that they were going to lose to the Cavaliers, you know, on Christmas night, I think, right? Is when they play the Cavaliers?
I believe so.
Yeah, so, but the Bucks, out of all the teams, I would not have expected them to
oh,
beat
yeah.
the, to unseat the, to end the winning streak. But, hey, it shows you that on any night, any team could be any team. So.
Yep, and the final score is 108-95, and now the Warriors, they haven't tasted what losing is like. Now they're gonna try to bounce back and
yeah.
return to their winning ways, start another winning streak.
Yeah, and I still think they'll win 70 games.
Oh yeah, they're,
because
they'll definitely win 70 games. How they're playing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're on pace.
They're definitely on pace. They're way on pace to,
mm-hmm.
to eclipse that. I'd be surprised if they lose two or three games in a row.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. But, yeah, they'll get back on their winning ways next time they take the court.
Oh, yeah, they're too good.
No doubt about that. We'll get back into NBA a little later, but let's talk some hot stove news. And of course, you know, a lot of big moves have been made this hot stove, especially in the winter meetings that just ended on Thursday. And one of the moves, of course, you know, Sterling Castro being traded to the Yankees for Adam Warren. I thought it was a very good move because, you know, the Yankees didn't give up any of their, you know, their top guys like Seferino or Bird, Betances. You know, they basically held on to the guy. I mean, Warren was a good, you know, good pitcher, but you know, for Castro, who's a three-time All-Star, a shortstop, you know, got a little pop. You know, the guy has potential. I mean, some people question, you know, his hustle
yeah.
in the past. You know, but ever since he got benched by, you know, the NL manager of the year, Joe Maddon, and then he moved him to second base, which is a more natural position away from the shortstop. He's been playing a lot better. And since he's traded to the Yankees, you know, with Didi Gregorius at short, I assume Castro's going to continue, to improve as a player.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a great move. You know, the Yankees didn't have to give up any of their major pieces. And, you know, Castro is definitely going to help us out, you know. We needed a – he's going to play second base, right? pretty much.
With Gregorius, yeah, he should definitely be playing second.
You know, so we needed a second baseman, so I think he's going to be a great addition. And, you know, he's still a young guy. The guy, he's only about 25, so I think Yankees have a second baseman for years to come.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of the, you know, Castro's former team, the Cubs, they made the big move recently. They signed Jason Hayward, what was it, an 8-year, $184 million contract. And I don't know about you. I mean, he's a, you know, he's a talented player. But the problem is he's never hit over, I think, what, 82 RBIs. I mean, he had 13 home runs, I think, last year, if my memory serves me right. So, basically, this is like an NBA draft pick move. I mean, they basically overpaid for him because of his potential, being, 26 years old. So, me personally, I think they definitely overpaid for him. I mean, he's a great defender. But with his the money they're paying him, man, he's a very good player, but he's not a superstar player. And because of this, I think Mets are going to officially lose out on signing Cespedes, because if Hayward's making, 184 million contract, I mean, I'm afraid to see what the Angels are going to give him, or some other team, maybe even the Dodgers. I mean, who is going to give him?
Man, I agree with you. I mean, Hayward, he had one great year in Atlanta where he had, it was in 2012, he like hit 27 home runs, 82 RBIs, mm-hmm. and hit over 270. And that mm-hmm. was his great. That was his one great year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, well, he's going to just give you, 13 home runs, 60 RBIs maybe, or less? He hits around, 270, 280? I mean, yeah. The Cubs way overpaid. I mean, I guess they did this move just to, to get back at the Cardinals, or try to overshadow the Cardinals maybe, Who knows?
And if I'm mistaken, I think it was a day after they signed Zobrist, who the Mets they weren't shy about, announcing that he's their number one target. I mean, Terry Collins was saying that he texted him, basically saying that, he wanted him to come. And, the Mets met with him, with Zobrist, but Zobrist, he chose less money to go to the Cubs. And Zobrist said that, all the teams he was, interested in, the Nationals, the Mets, the teams that he played, basically, he had interest with them, but the reason why he signed with the Cubs is because, one, he wanted to be closer to home, and two, he felt it was very intriguing to, be part of a championship team with the Cubs, which obviously, that hasn't happened since 1908. And if you look back in 1908, the Cubs, they won their first ever championship the year before that in 1907. So going to 1909, you would have thought a Cubs fan would have saw a three-peat. But, unfortunately for them, that didn't happen. But the future looks very bright for the Cubs. They lost to the eventual National League champion, the Mets, in the NLCS. And, they're making moves, to try to get themselves back there. They got the young guys. They got Schwarber. They got Chris Bryant. I mean, and they improved their pitching. They still got Arrieta and trying to remember Lester. I think is the other one they had. I'm trying to remember. Mm-hmm. I think it was Lester. And then they signed. I think it was John Lackey in the offseason too. So they're unlike some teams in the major leagues. They're actually trying to improve their team, and try to finally bring that title back to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of the team that eliminated them the postseason, the Mets, they made some interesting moves in the winter meeting after not really doing anything in the off season. The Mets, they traded for Neil Walker, they traded away Jonathan Neese, who was a veteran left-handed pitcher, starter, and then he went to the bullpen, late into the season and into the postseason. But basically, I don't know if you heard. I thought it was a good move, Jonathan Neese, he was, literally a mediocre pitcher. He had flashes of brilliance at times, but he was literally a mediocre pitcher. He was 61-61. To his credit, especially this year, he didn't have a lot of people playing defense. There was a lot of games that, that basically Daniel Murphy or Flores, they're definitely not going to be, mistaken for Vizquel and Olimar, with the Cleveland Indians of the 90s.
Right.
But what I didn't like about Neese is that after he got traded, he went to, I think he spoke to a Pittsburgh newspaper and saying that the one thing he'll like about playing with the Pirates is that they play defense. That's what he's really looking forward to. So I thought that was a classless move on his part. I mean, yeah, I understand he's being frustrated because, yeah, obviously the defense, the Mets defense up the middle was very horrible, and that was very highlighted in red, bold, underlined letters in the World Series against the Royals. But come on, dude, if you got something to say, I appreciate he did put his mouth, say it. He wasn't an anonymous, person that said it.
Mm-hmm.
He did put his name on it. I appreciate that. But the second worst thing I hate about former players when they leave a team is when they run their mouth. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You got something to say, say it. That's why I respected Billy Wagner when he was on the Phillies. He was saying, the reporter on Philadelphia was asking him, what does he think about the Phillies at that time? He said, man, they'll be lucky if they make it to the playoffs, and stuff like that. And
yep.
I think Pat Burrell at the time was upset with him because he didn't like that he was being brutally honest about the team. But Billy Wagner, he said it while he was on the team. And
yeah,
that ruined their relationship, but I appreciate it. And this was the year before he signed with the Mets. So this had to be, I think, 05. So he was man enough to admit that, the team wasn't good. I mean, he was being honest.
Yeah, exactly.
He had every reason to feel frustrated because the team, they didn't really provide with a lot of support. But then again, Neese will never be mistaken for Steven Matz or Matt Harvey or Syndergaard or DeGrom or anything like that. I mean, he was a decent pitcher. He's shown some flashes of brilliance at times, but, Bill Parcells said, you are what your records say you are. So,
yeah,
Neese was a mediocre pitcher. But back to that, I thought the Neil Walker move was a very good move. I mean, he's similar to Daniel Murphy, who will be ultimately replacing. He's a slightly better defender than Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Murphy's a better hitter. But I think it's a good move. I mean, the guy hit 16 home runs. The problem is he's a switch hitter, but he only did it on one side of the plate. I think from the left side of the plate, I think he hit all 16 of his home runs. So, obviously, he's far from perfect, especially from the right side. But I think it's a good move. He's a spark, a feisty, type player, a hard-nosed player. And then on the next day, I think that was Thursday, they signed Asdrubal Cabrera, which, I thought, they should have signed him years ago. So, I mean, I like the move. He's a guy who plays shortstop, second base. Like Walker, they could both play either position. And I think it's a good move. I think, improves their defense. Cabrera's a decent fielder. I mean, Years ago, he was 2011, 2012, he had his best year all around defensively, offensively. But I think he still has enough in the tank. I think it's a good move. And hopefully Mets will spend money and get a slugger with the announcement of Kadir on Friday night announcing that he retires. So hopefully the Mets will spend the money, hopefully get maybe re-sign Cespedes or sign Upton. But I don't know. We'll see. Mets, you know, they're thinking about re-signing Colon, which I think is a very good move. I think they need to shore up the bullpen, and they need to sign an outfielder, you know, with power to improve this team, because the bullpen and the offense killed the Mets in the World Series.
Yeah, they need offense, more of it.
Absolutely.
They have to re-sign the Cespedes, no matter what it takes.
No doubt about that. And trying to think. The Rangers right now, they last time I checked, they were losing 3-1. They haven't been playing well lately. I think it was Friday night they lost. They lost in Edmonton, against the Edmonton Oilers, in Edmonton, where Glenn Seder, you know, the architect of those Messier, you know, championship teams, a few decades ago in the 80s, he was honored. He took his place, his rightful place, and was honored, at the game by his former team. And congrats to him, but unfortunately the Rangers lost 7-5. So Rangers, they haven't been playing well. The Islanders, I think they won 3-2, I think, or did they lose 3-2? I'm going to have to check.
Yeah, Islanders are starting to gain ground on the Rangers. Islanders right now are 17-8. Rangers are 18-9. So Rangers have to start playing better hockey, or else Islanders are going to surpass them in the standings here.
Yeah, they definitely need to get their act together for real. What was I going to say? What's my train of thought? The Islanders won 3-2 against the Columbus Blue Jackets in overtime, 3-2. So, like you said, they're gaining ground. But speaking of a team that needs to gain ground is the Giants, man. They shocked the world, and they got upset by the Jets in overtime on Sunday. They were up on the Jets 20-10, and at halftime, and then they let the Jets score 13 unanswered points on them, and basically the Jets needed that win, now Giants, they gotta try to beat the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, while the Jets, they're going to try to beat up on the Tennessee Titans and try to win 3 straight. So it's a pivotal time for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, Giants are fortunate enough that they play in a horrible division. They can't let games like that go. They had a chance to win that game against the Jets, and they had a chance where they could have scored a touchdown rather than getting a field goal than that. Their defense. Stop if their life.
Repeat that. The phone kind of broke up a bit. You still here? Can you hear me, Mac? If you can hear me, speak up. We'll get back to Mac once he gets. Mac will we lost Mac, but we'll get back to him. Hopefully he'll call in. We'll put him back on. In any case, what was I gonna say? So yeah, hold on, I think we have him.
Hello? Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
You're back on the air.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened there. Sorry.
I don't know. Yeah. But continue what you were saying.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that the Giants, yeah, their defense has been playing atrocious. The defense can't get a stop if their life depended on it. So if they want to win this division with only, what, 3 or 4 games left, they have to play much better football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and they're fortunate enough to play in a bad division that is the NFC East.
Yeah, every team is like, what, I'm trying to remember the score. It was like
5-7 or something?
5-7, and the Cowboys are in the cellar, but they're just one game out with 4-8, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a really, really horrible division. There's a lot of parity, but the reason why there's parity is because all the teams basically stink.
Yeah, pretty much. So if they want to win this division and make the playoffs, they can't let games like that slip away from them.
Yeah, but unfortunately for the Giants, they've been this whole season they've had like at least we can kind of like maybe 4 fingers of the games that they let go late in the fourth quarter that they had a lead, like at least.
Oh yeah. Giants should have been 8-4 by now, depending on the. Based on the games that they lost this year, that they should have won.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's what happens when you're not a very good team. You lose games like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the flip side, the Jets, you know, they're trying to win 3 games in a row, and they need Fitzpatrick to continue his awesome play. You know, he's thrown 6 touchdowns in the past 2 games, no interceptions. And him and Brandon Marshall, man, they got that ESP thing going.
Yeah,
you know they've been a perfect combination, you know. So
yeah, Marshall and Decker have been killing it in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing a great job getting open, and they're tall wide receivers, so it's pretty difficult for cornerbacks to cover them.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's going to have to definitely outdo Mariota, you know, later today.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Definitely will be a very interesting matchup. You know, the veteran versus the young rookie. And, of course, you know, Jets were interested in trying to go after him in the draft. So it'll be interesting you know, how both guys are going to do facing each other later today.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, the Knicks right now, they're leading 108-104 with 29.5 seconds. So Knicks, if they play it smart, they have a chance to end this streak.
Yeah.
Their 4-game losing streak.
30 seconds left in the game.
Yep. But,
That's 108,
106. Two-point lead. And speaking of which, the NBA admits that they blew a call against the Knicks, against Utah. It was on Friday,
oh, yeah.
I think. Carmelo Anthony was clearly fouled. But they didn't call it. This is like maybe the 2 or 3 time this whole entire year that, you know, the NBA admitted that they blew a call against, you know, in favor of Carmelo, and the Knicks lost because of that.
Yeah, man. Carmelo, he doesn't get, like, the calls like LeBron James or
mm-hmm.
Steph Curry or these other players. I don't know why that is.
Exactly. Yeah. He doesn't get the superstar calls for sure. But, lastly, WWE, TLC, who you think is going to win the title, the rematch between Sheamus and Roman Reigns for the title?
I think Sheamus is going to retain it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Sheamus is going to win it. He just won it, cashing in on Survivor Series. So I think at the earliest, he's going to win it he's going to lose it at Royal Rumble, hopefully.
You think so? I think it'll be WrestleMania.
That's what I said. I think at the earliest he'll lose it at Royal Rumble, but I don't think he'll lose it at Royal Rumble yet.
Okay.
But yeah, the earliest I could see Sheamus losing it would be Royal Rumble, but I don't see him losing tonight. And then let me see what other major matches they have. Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. I think Dean Ambrose is gonna win.
Me too. I think it's time for Dean Ambrose to get a championship, and it's not gonna be the heavyweight championship yet, but Intercontinental will do.
Yeah, I think WWE knows they gotta throw the fans a bone here because the fans are not really interested with this feud with Sheamus and Roman Reigns. I mean, that's they're trying to do the same thing they did to Daniel Bryan, who clearly looks like he might not be able to wrestle anymore. You know, it looks like WWE won't clear him, you know, at this rate most likely.
Is he gonna have to retire?
I think that's what's gonna happen. Because I think he spoke about it recently. Like, I think he's still trying to get doctors' opinions, but it looks like they won't clear him. Because he's had concussions, but he said that even though he has concussions, his brain looks normal. Looks like he hasn't had any concussions.
Right.
So if he does in fact retire, WWE would probably use him in an on air role or. You know, maybe a GM or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But if so, man, he was my favorite guy when he was there. It'd be sad if his career ended like this.
Oh, yeah, when he's wrestling and he's in WWE, he's a top face. Well, I wouldn't say top face, but he's one of the top favorites amongst, WWE audience. They love him.
Oh, yeah. There hasn't been a guy that captured the WWE audience since CM Punk.
Yeah.
I think that's why WWE is hurting, because they're not listening to the fans. They're not giving them I think if they gave him Ambrose, as a champion, I think they'd give him a shot.
They should.
But they're not doing that. So hopefully, Ambrose could win the Intercontinental title. Is the United States title on the line too? Del Rio? Oh, yeah, against Swagger.
Oh, yeah. I think Del Rio is going to retain that. I don't see it, Swagger beating him.
I think the only way he'd beat it is if, what's his name? Zeb Coulter betrays him, since Del Rio doesn't want him on the corner and he joins the We the People.
Yeah.
So that one I could see go either way. This is a good. I think Del Rio will win again, and then maybe Zeb Coulter and will help Jack Swagger win the title at Royal Rumble. But
I could see that happening. I could see that.
What other matches are there? There's the Team Extreme versus the ECW Originals. And, of course, Rhino made his – oh, my gosh. Rhino made his return to the WWE on Monday night. And he's joining Tommy Dreamer and the Dudley Boys to battle all four members of the Dudley Boys. I mean, all four members of the Wyatt family. So – I think the Wyatt family will finally win a feud, because they haven't won a big feud probably since Dean Ambrose, since Bray Wyatt was fighting against Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see them winning this match.
Yeah, I think Wyatt family will win this one hands down, because they need to win a big match.
Yeah.
Because Bray Wyatt,
there's a feud between Wyatt's and
League of Nations.
League of Nations, yeah.
As you predicted, I think it was like last week. You were predicting that, And it happened on Monday night, and I thought of you. I was like, man, you was right.
Yeah, cause, I mean, I can see why it's turning face, you know?
I think you have a point there. So, yeah, I think Wyatt will win that. What other matches are there? I think Paige is battling against Charlotte again. I think Charlotte will retain again.
I think so, too.
Even though she had, yeah, especially with Ric Flair on her corner. Oh, no. Oh, my
no.
gosh.
Oh.
Oh.
Yo,
the
if
Knicks,
that had gone
oh
in.
Oh, my gosh.
That would have been one of the most crushing defeats of the season.
Oh, my goodness. The Knicks have, with the skin of their teeth, they walked away with a 112-110 victory. After
wow.
somebody, I don't remember who, someone missed a free throw with 2 seconds left.
It's Lillard.
Oh, Lillard. Lillard missed the ball. It bounced off. He missed a free throw. It deflected back to him, and he was able to try to take a game-winning three, and he missed
wow.
it.
Wow. And it was
My
close.
My goodness.
Man, it was close.
And the ball bounced perfectly to him behind the three-point line. And he nailed it, man. This would have been one of the worst regular season losses I've seen the Knicks. And the
oh,
Knicks
yeah.
have lost, like at least in recent history, they've lost a couple where they've had people make a last-second shot but didn't count because it was, as a matter of fact, Porzingis was the most recent person to do it this year. And the Knicks lost because he shot it with, you know, time expiring. I think it was against the Hornets, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, I think so.
A good win for the Knicks, you know. They needed to snap the four-game winning streak. I mean, losing streak, I should say. So, kudos to them.
14 now.
Yep. So, you know, like the unlike the Nets, they lost to the Clippers 105-100. But back to the TLC. Let me see, what other major matches are there that we didn't cover?
Oh, there's what was it?
Oh, Usos
Ryback.
Versus Well, yeah, yes, there's Usos versus Lucha Dragons and New Day. Wait, did I say New Day already? New Day, Lucha Dragons, and who was the 13? Trying to think.
Usos,
New Day, and Lucha Dragons. I think Usos are going to win.
I see New Day retaining the title again.
Yeah, I hope New Day retains. They've been very interesting and entertaining, unlike the WWE champion, Sheamus. But yeah, I think Usos will win. But I could definitely see New Day retaining also.
Yeah.
Let me see what else. And you were saying about Ryback versus Rusev. I think Rusev will win.
Me too. I see Rusev getting back on track with this win.
Especially with Lana at his side, you know.
Yeah. His wife now.
Well, they didn't officially get married, but I think he's calling him his wife. You know, he's calling her his wife.
Yeah. Engaged.
But should be an interesting TLC. And then after that, they're gonna have Stone Cold interview Shawn Michaels.
Oh, after the show?
Yeah, after the show. They're changing it up. You know, usually they have them talk after Raw. But this time they're gonna have the podcast show right after the pay-per-view event. It looks like it's taped because they were showing footage of, you know, some clips of
oh,
them
yeah.
talking to each other. So it looks like this one isn't live.
Well, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good regardless.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, both great talkers and former WrestleMania 14 opponents.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been on Stone Cold's podcast, you know, in the past. So it should be definitely an interesting podcast interview, you know, between the two Texans.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports and Religion every Sundays at midnight, only on Block Talk Radio.
You heard them? Check out Sports of Religion every Sundays at midnight. And, of course, check out iMac with your host, Macaulay Matthews. So,
should it be Saturdays at midnight or should it be Sunday morning? How do we say that now?
Yeah, I know. That's interesting.
Confusing.
Yeah. I guess it's Sunday at midnight. Technically, since it turned midnight on Sunday. So
yeah, true.
I guess it's Sunday midnight. But, yes, you know, check out the show Sunday midnight. And check out iMac with Macaulay every Saturday at 11. I'm William Ramo. This is Macaulay Matthews. And I'll see you guys next week with the TLC review, recap next week. So see you guys next week.